This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, happy Halloween, everybody. We are having a fun day, and we hope you are as well. If you're going to be out trick-or-treating or hanging out with the kids, make sure you're safe tonight. I mean, everybody wants to have a good time. Mike, what was your favorite candy growing up to get on Halloween, to get, to receive?
I'm a big man for nougat. Matter of fact, my body is 40% nougat right now. I'm going to go with the Three Musketeers. I was a Three Musketeers guy.
I love Three Musketeers. It's Three Musketeers over Snickers?
Yeah, I was not. I wasn't as peanutty back then.
Okay,
so yes, I'd say I'd be a Three Musketeers. I'm old school though. I like regular Hershey, just a regular chocolate Hershey bar. I'm a chocoholic.
Yeah, man. I like chocolate too. I'm with you on that. And I don't know where you stand on that, as Snickers or Three Musketeers. As a kid, anything chocolate. But my favorite was, again, gummy bears. And whenever I received that, I was so excited to get home and open that bag. Don't know what your favorite candy is, but we're talking to you on our poll question at Dukes and Bill 929 about your favorite scary movie. And we'll dive into this a little bit more in the 6 o'clock hour as we bring back our game winner tonight and have some fun with it, because we know a lot of you, and the response has been crazy, Mike. Somebody said, again, we didn't even bring Sixth Sense up. And I tweeted out, you know, my dog Frankie today, he's got the ghost costume on. He's so cool. We put that on him and he was like, whatever. And he looks just sitting there, and he looks like a ghost. If you haven't seen it, it's Put Him Up, See Dukes. But I put on the post, I see dead people. People were saying, dude, that movie also scared me. Sixth Sense, because you didn't know what was going on until the end.
Because, you know, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong kind of lost his fastball for a while there, but some of those were just unbelievable. I'm with you there. I know we basically all genres, from science fiction to, like, you know, we mentioned even a TV movie like Salem's Lot. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Speaking of Halloween today, real quick before we get to the Falcons, the Jets in action tonight against the Texans, a 2-point favorite. You and I were like, what's the deal on that? Does Stephon Diggs move that line that much?
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think this is more about the big fish who set these lines, Mike, saying Jets are not going to lose five in a row. They have had Davante Adams now for a couple of weeks. They will settle in, and they will find a way to win a game, and this is probably the most winnable that they've had on the schedule. So they're at home. You make them the favorite. I think also they're trying to get a little bit of action right on both sides, because if you said the Texans are a 7-point favorite, everybody would be like, I'm not touching that.
One little sidebar story. I didn't have enough time for this in Guy Talk, but Aaron Rodgers historically will dress up for Halloween and would do so at Lambeau. I think he kind of senses the temperature in the room with how bad the Jets are right now, and maybe coming in a costume to MetLife might rub a few Jets fans the wrong way. In years past, he dressed up as Uncle Rico. We'll go back in time. So Wentz State, throw the football up in those mountains.
He didn't do it.
He's dressed up as Uncle Rico. I know not everybody knows Wes Anderson's The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, but he dressed up as Bill Murray in that one. One year he dressed up as the Nick Cage character in Con Air.
Okay.
Put the bunny in the box.
So what did he do this year?
Nothing. Just showed up like a guy in casual clothes ready to play some football.
Yeah,
I've been in the darkness.
You know why, Mike? Because he didn't want any more distractions.
Cameron Poe was the character in Con Air.
Which was a great character. Hey, speaking of football, guys, let's talk about our Falcons. And we visited with Kirk Cousins yesterday. If you missed the interview, it's online at odyssey.com. Kirk was talking to us about a variety of things, but one of the things was the growth of the offense. Somebody said to me, what is this identity of our football team? And some people believe we don't have one. You're not paying attention. It's offense. Guys, we scored 30 or more in three of our last four games. And this is what we thought the offense could be coming into the season. It didn't look that way against Pittsburgh, but it has slowly evolved into that. And I think that is the identity of this team. You can't say it's defense right now, guys, because we don't do something that you need to do on defense, and that sack the quarterback.
Right. We had a young defense with four rookies, if you throw in Poole when he was undrafted free agent. But we had Devondre Campbell and Debo and Keanu Neal. But we had Vic Beasley. We brought in Dwight Freeney. But the sacks were all predicated on the fact that the offense was Kyle Shanahan's. It was one of the greatest offenses in NFL history and was up 10 to 14 points. That's kind of where we're living these days. But that team had 34 sacks. Right now, at the current pace, this team will be lucky to get to 15.
Doesn't even sound right. It just doesn't. Last hour was brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, guys, talking about the growth of the offense.
Like every week, just trying to stack the experiences, have good conversations, ask good questions, get on the same page, and then see how that carries over the next week. And the same would be said for my teammates of, hey, Drake, I didn't know you were going to do that. Like, let's talk about that, because if you do that, I can get you the ball. I just wasn't aware. So every week trying to get more on the same page and believing that in doing that, we're going to be better and better as we move forward.
We had such a great conversation with Kirk Cousins. If you missed it yesterday, it's online. Go to odyssey.com and 92.9 The Game. Some of the things we talked about on his 13-yard scamper, he said that, when he went back and looked at the tape, he's like, damn, I missed Ray McCloud wide open. I wouldn't have had to try to run so much. But that was a crucial moment in sustaining the drive, which kept the Bucs off the clock and ultimately led to the win.
Yeah, I think, Mike, he was running for his life so he couldn't see anybody when you're in that right moment. It's like, I got to pick up some yards. But we now know he can do it. I don't expect him to do it, but we know he can do it.
And Kirk gave us the timeline from, if you didn't hear the interview yesterday, about knowing that it would be by the spring, maybe you can do some of the things in minicamp. By 8 months out, you won't be able to put all the pressure on it. But a year from the time of the Achilles, which we just came up on Halloween weekend last year from Minnesota, now you saw it on the quarterback sneak. He can put pressure on the Achilles. He can do anything you need him to do, and looks great doing it.
I agree. Here's Kirk Cousins talking about the chemistry with Darnell Mooney and the wide receiving group as a whole. Guys, the Cowboys are giving up 28 a game. They can't stop the run. This sets up and bodes well for our offense.
He's a great route runner. He's very twitchy. He showed it on a choice route early in the game, and I got hit on the throw and wasn't able to make it. But, if you go back and watch the tape, what he can do at separating on that choice route, it's pretty special. And as a point guard distributor, how I view myself, I just want to get the ball in these guys' hands because they do such a good job getting open and running great routes.
Yeah, and he's doing a good job of that. Last week we heard Coach talk about, was it his best game, his cleanest game, and all of that stuff. You just want repeat performances, right? I don't need him to throw for 509 every game, but I need him to be clean like he was, Mike, and be as good and efficient as he was. And against the Cowboys, the crazy thing is he has the ability and could easily do that based on the fact, Mike, they got a lot of struggles going on. We don't think at this point it could change, guys, that Micah Parsons is going to be there on Sunday.
We're going to talk to our buddy Fish coming up around 6:20, who does great sports talk radio over the years in Dallas. But the news out of camp today is that Micah Parsons was out of practice with the ankle, and that Mike McCarthy, when asked about it, says it still needs more time. So I know a lot of folks, the story earlier in the week in Dallas, they thought they were going to have Parsons, unless they're sandbagging for this game. But yeah, obviously he's a game changer. But under Mike Zimmer, he hasn't been as much of an impact guy when he's on the field since he was with Dan Quinn.
I agree. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Thursday, guys. That means Wild Wings, where it's Boneless Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wings from Buffalo Wild Wings. Kirk Cousins, Mike, talking about the Cowboys. And then we got some other stuff for you. Coming up also, the Braves make a trade. We'll tell you more in less than 10 minutes. Stay right there as the offseason has already started. World Series is over. Boom. Braves make a trade. Here's Cousins on what to expect from the Cowboys.
I think they're going to come out with everything they have, and that's always a dangerous football team. I just think they have too many people on their football team that have played in really big games and really big moments and delivered in those moments. And I think that's also something you got to be aware of. And, I know there's going to be some Cowboy fans in the crowd too, so there's that factor. And, I just think they play with great team speed. They're fast, and you feel that all game long. And that's kind of what I expect on Sunday.
Yeah, man, and we know that the Cowboys' offense, if you let any quarterback in the league sit there and pat the baby, pat the football, Dak's going to find somebody. If you can get pressure on Dak, you've said it, yes, we talked about it all week. He'll throw you a ball, he'll give you some picks like Baker Mayfield did, right?
Here's where Dak Prescott is. Last three games, two picks. He will give it to you. That's his last three. Mike McCarthy today said, part of our problem is the turnover ratio. What he was telling you is our quarterback is throwing it to the other team way too much. He didn't mention Dak, right, but that's what's going on. That's the last three games, Mike. You're going to tell me going into this game and the way our safeties are playing, the way AJ just played, that we don't have the ability to pick up two more picks in this game?
Right.
Absolutely.
But again, look, get some heat on the guy. Got to get some heat. Maybe they'll throw some more blitzes at us. You won't see Rook a row. I saw him limping off the field down in Tampa. That ankle looked really bad. JT Bertrand, concussion, a linebacker. Some of these guys got some just days off because I know Nate Landman, it was just for rest for him. Caden Ellis was a full participant, by the way. His knee was a little gimpy in the Tampa game. Justin Simmons, hamstring, full participation for him.
Hopefully he's back.
So that sounds pretty good. Chris Lindstrom is back in the mix, although Mark Grimondi, our buddy from ESPN, reporting that Dwayne Ledford, the O-line coach, says they give out like a belt WWE style for the best finisher. And it went to Matthew Bergeron, who we love at left guard. That guy's been great since he got drafted here. He said also Chris Lindstrom and Ryan Nuziel were the tag team champions for working together. So there you go. And it's good to see that Lindstrom is getting back in the mix. Lindstrom, I still think, you know, with all due respect to Hinton, is the better piece. Limited participation with the knee. Coach made it sound like it was more, he said, wait for later in the week. So, because we have to wait for tomorrow's injury report on Lindstrom.
All right. That's still all good news with Simmons potentially coming back. Lindstrom looks okay. Listen, Bergeron is the unsung hero on this offensive line. We talk about Jake because he's been here a long time and been consistent. Lindstrom is the Pro Bowler / All-Pro candidate year in and year out. Bergeron, Mike, nobody talks about him. This dude just shows up and grades out and does his job, and he's really damn good. I don't think people realize how much of a role he plays, especially when you talk about the run game, too. That's the other part. He's a really good player. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're talking Falcons, Cowboys, Braves conversation coming up as they make a move here in just a little bit, and also our road to the college football playoff next Tuesday. I know there's a lot going on, but we will get the college football playoff committees first rankings, and we'll get a chance to see how these guys are thinking about things. Mike, I don't know what happens this weekend. I think Penn State beats Ohio State. We've been talking about it, but I'm guessing they're going to throw somebody in there that's number one. Everybody's going to go, what the hey?
Yeah, I mean, because every year, guys, they'll throw some like silly stuff in there to steal headlines because there are other things going on that night, by the way. So they may,
it's a big night.
They may throw some stuff at you. Doesn't matter. The only one that matters is the one after the conference championship weekend. But you're right. People will be pulling their hair out over it. Also, guys, what makes sense for the Falcons trade-wise? We did mention this earlier in the show. Za'Darius Smith, new article coming out of Cleveland Online saying that they are talking to the Lions. So that's a guy we'd have to give up a fourth-round pick. Guesstimates would be if we're trying to beef up the passers. What would you say, Ed? Five sacks this year.
Five sacks. He helps them, too. I mean, and it makes total sense for him to be traded somewhere between now and Tuesday. All right, we're coming back. What did Alex Anthopoulos do today? Does it make sense? And does it give you some insight into where this thing may go? It's Dukes and Bell.
Ben, this update is brought to you by Bader Law. Injured? You deserve the best. BaderLaw.com. Game 5 of the World Series last night looked to be headed the Yankees' way as New York took a 5-0 lead into the fifth. However, Gerrit Cole's mistakes on the mound, combined with three errors, turned a blowout into a tied game in half a frame. In the eighth, the Dodgers took the lead with two sac flies, ultimately holding on to win 7-6 and winning the 2024 World Series. LA gets their first championship since 2020 as Freddie Freeman won World Series MVP after recording four home runs and 12 RBIs, tied for the most in World Series history. Meanwhile, Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos wasted no time for the season to end, finalizing a trade earlier today. The Braves are sending outfielder Jorge Soler to the Los Angeles Angels in exchange for starter Griffin Canning. Atlanta will not be responsible for any of the $26 million remaining on Soler's contract. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Caleb Johnson from the Kia Studios. On your home of Friday's Hawks-Kings game, tip-off at 7:30. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We know we have a really good team. We weren't healthy this year.
No.
But this move that the Braves have made in trading Jorge Soler away to the Angels, now this begins the process of the makeover. What are you going to do? Where else can we improve, and what's going to happen? by the way, I don't think you are going to see a whole lot of change with the core of this group, right? Matt Olson's here. We talk about Ozzie, obviously Harris, Acuna. Mm-hmm. Those are the core guys. But there are areas where you can upgrade, Mike. And the Jorge Soler thing for me was just you had a crowded outfield. He came to help. Now it's time to go.
Yeah. Now, do you want to keep Laureano around as a utility guy? Do you feel he's good enough? Or you say, I can get a better platoon with Kelnick, which you probably can. You know, Whit Merrifield's a nice piece. You know, he kind of showed some ability, you know, flexibility. You play him in the infield and downfield. So those are some names. Real quick, though, you did get something, though, for Soler. You've got the can man.
Uh-oh.
Griffin Cannon.
Cannon.
Yes. He's got four pitches, Carl.
Four?
And some of them are really fast. He's got two different fastballs. He's got a four-seamer. He's got a good slider. He's got a good curveball, according to Baseball America.
That's huge. Big.
Thank you, Snit. And he's got over like 90 starts in his career.
Okay, so he brings a little experience.
So he could be your fifth starter.
He could.
Can man. Provided that, you know, again, don't know what Strider's going to be, right?
No.
I mean, that's an if. And we presume that Charlie Morton is gone, right? This is for finally saying goodbye to Charlie Morton.
I think so. And I also think, first of all, I'd be surprised if Morton or Fried are back. And you guys know I wanted to re-sign Fried early in the season. It didn't happen. Right. Now, this is my concern, Mike, and it will be until we see what happens with the hot stove and all the conversation we'll have. You're replacing 60 starts. For whatever Charlie Morton was or wasn't, he was going to start 30 games for you. Max Fried, okay, again, that's 30 more starts. Where's that coming from? I said this earlier, Mike. I think Schwelly can be a number one guy. He's got the stuff to do
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's right. It's like Sale.
But Schwellenbach has the stuff to do it. My point is, if you get Strider back, he doesn't necessarily have to be, but I don't know when that happens.
Right. Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, Schwellenbach has certainly shown he's got the minerals, right? And then you get to the guys that we've been talking about seemingly now for 3 years. A.J. Smith-Shaver, you know, I mean, and... Well, I mean, this gets back. Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson helped you, you know, in big moments in the postseasons before. But, I mean, it's...
You know what I think about this?
I don't know.
Thank you, Snit.
I say the same thing.
I think this is what those guys ultimately are. They're guys that can help with injuries throughout the course of a season that can give you spot starts. I don't think at this point, Mike, I'm looking at any of those guys you just mentioned and said, I can get 30 starts out of them. I'm not doing it.
And Bryce Elder, he'll be back in Gwinnett. You know, and maybe Bryce Elder's a guy that you move in a package if you want to try to beef up some of your platoon in the outfield along with Kelnick. You still got to replace. A lot of folks feel A.J. Minter could be gone this year, you know. So there could be a new look to this squad, man. You've already mentioned Soler is out. Little D's already got a contract, so Little D is back for sure.
Yeah, but there should be a new feel or look around your core. That's the key.
Well, how about go spend some money on pitching, which Alex Anthopoulos will never do, even with Sale. And look, he found a tremendous deal with Sale. He bet that Sale could get back to Cy Young form, MVP form, and he did. But I just think for once in AA's life, other than guys you've already got here like the Strider contract, you got to go give some money. Real quick, for guys who missed the conversation earlier, what's your threshold? What's your number that you say, I can't go any higher on Max Fried in case Max gets maybe, I don't know, a lukewarm reaction in free agency?
130.
I mean, I'm cool with that. I just think he's going to get more out there. Somebody's going to get more loot.
130. And I'm not saying that because that's the market. The market is going to depend on some crazy team that desperately needs pitching that's going to be willing to offer him, you know, more than that. You're talking about more than 28 a year, okay? Don't think the Braves are going to be willing to do that. Right now, I see Sale, Schwelly, and I see Spencer Strider as your 1, 2, 3, not in that order, right? And we know Chris Sale will probably be one just based off him coming off the injury. But you still need an additional two guys to give you quality starts and, more importantly, just that you can run out there. That's going to be one of the big questions this offseason. This move, okay, you get a guy with an arm, great. We'll see what he can do. What's his name?
How are you already forgetting the can man?
What's his name?
How do you not know Griffin Canning?
Oh, Cannon.
No, yes. It's Canning.
Oh, Canning.
As if you went to millions of peaches for free. They were canned
Canning.
By the Canning man.
Canning.
So
okay,
there you go.
Gotcha.
Look, other names out there as far as the Bravos, and we already figured yes, Adam Duvall is gone, Luke Jackson's gone, Chavez is gone. All so there will be some turnover unless you're not telling me you're going to bring Chavez back.
That I don't know. I have no idea. Listen,
unless he goes, you know, we'll let him go to the Chicago White Sox and then he can bring him back.
I look at the bullpen, Mike. It changes so much. I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, listen, he's liked in this organization.
Clubhouse. They do like the guy.
They like him, man. So I just feel like what your bullpen looks like at the beginning of the year versus what it looks like at the end is two different things. So I just – my thing is right now, guys – I need our guys to be able to hit, okay?
But here's the thing. You don't know what Acuña is going to be when he comes back.
No.
I mean, how effective is Acuña going to be? I mean, we got one thing with Marcel. Marcel carried the team. You picked up the $60 million option. That's the biggest no-brainer of all time. So he's back. You know that Matt Olson is a career 250 hitter? You just need some clutch. You know, you're losing Austin Riley. I don't have to remind you guys. That's why it's such an amazing job that Snicker did just to get you in the playoffs against San Diego. When you consider all the pitching issues he had to deal with. But who's going to be out there? And we've got to get some more frontline pitching, with all due respect, unless they think that, you know, again, we're always shopping with a Groupon. We just got all of Soler's money off, which makes perfect sense, guys. I'm not faulting Double A. Get something for Soler. Get him off the books, because that's money you don't need. Be getting wasted on him. And if this Griffin Canning dude with a better team can...
What's his name?
Griffin Canning.
Canning.
Canning. He's only 28, Carl. He's a tall drink of water. He's from L.A.
Look, if he can help us, I'm all for it. But this idea, like, he's coming over here and everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with him. Stop lying.
But in the past,
that is what they said about Reynaldo Lopez.
And though. Kevin Gausman and a lot of other guys that have had sort of reclamation projects that turned out well over here.
Yeah. No, listen, the scouting department and the folks who are finding these guys and making these decisions, they're doing a hell of a job. The fact of the matter is, it's worked more times than not.
John just asked me on the text line. He's a righty. Griffin Canning is a right-handed.
Canning!
Pitcher. Canning.
Okay.
Couple of names. Can I interest you guys in Robbie Ray, former Cy Young Award winner? He'll be out there. Michael Wacha is a savvy veteran at 33, had a good bounce back couple of seasons down in Tampa. Corbin Burnes will be the prized free agent starter.
Right.
I don't think if you're going to give 130 to Max, that's not going to be enough to get Corbin Burnes.
By the way, where does Max, like in the minds of right now, the article's already popping. Third best free agent pitcher?
So I saw an article from CBS Sports about a week ago that had him getting about $160 million. The Braves are just never going to do
that. No, Carl said, I agree with Carl. I mean, in a perfect world, how about 150? Would you come to 150?
No. No.
They're not going to do it.
No.
Double A, you cold-hearted bastard.
You weren't going to give an everyday player who was in your lineup 160, you're not giving a guy that starts every fifth day, regardless of what you may think. This is just where I'm at. I do not know, but I doubt it. Chris, all those names are intriguing, but the price tag is what we're talking about. Guys, can we just be honest, though? All this is fun. You know how the Dodgers won the World Series? They hit.
Yeah, everybody was hitting. The Dodgers, of all the Dodgers pitching they've had over the last 15 years, the Dodgers had to go more bullpen starts. They had to bring more guys from the minors, bring more guys into the trade deadline. The one constant was they had the best hitter in baseball in Ohtani. Freddie, it was on fire in the postseason. The clutching you and I talked about, we missed here in Atlanta the last 3 years. You know, it's an entire team of studs.
You know what the Yankees didn't do? Hit.
Well, they also didn't play fundamentally sound baseball.
They didn't, Mike.
They didn't run the bases well. They didn't field well.
But that gets back to what wins, man. Like, if we can hit all this other stuff, we can work out. If we need to get another pitcher in middle of the season next year, fine. But we can't do what we did this year expect to be in this thing.
But let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to go up and get, again, you've already got one, Griffin Canning.
Canning!
That's one. He'll be starting, guys. Mark it down. He'll be starting.
Canning!
So Alex will be looking for one more guy who's going to be in their price range because he always does pitching on the cheap. Look, and again, Chris Sale was a brilliant move. I'm not saying it's all like it's a disaster, but just when you laid it out, all the elite teams and our payroll goes up, up, up because all these contracts continue to...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Mature with all of your position players that you've locked up, but you still got to prime the pump. You've got to get better pitching.
A couple of more names that are in that B-level category, guys. Sean Manaea, who had a really good year with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Severino, same thing. Jack Flaherty, who wasn't good in the World Series, right, but he is an unrestricted free agent. And another guy, how about another reclamation project? A guy that was a former Cy Young Award winner, Shane Bieber's out there.
Here's the deal with those guys, and I'm talking about the reclamation projects. This is what I knew about Chris Sale before he got here. You got to have the right makeup, man. Like, some of these guys, they were good and now they're not, or they went through some stuff. Like, Chris Sale's makeup, that's why I believed he was going to be good. Some of these guys you're talking about, Turtle, I don't know. I don't know about the makeup.
Let's just pretend for a minute that we really do just don't give a flip and we're going to go for the gusto. How about you get Corbin Burns? How about you go get Juan Soto?
That'd be great.
And, you know, now you invest $500 million in two guys, but you win the freaking World Series again.
That'd be great. I'd love
just that. A thought. I mean, again, it'll never happen, but I know we can't think like the Dodgers because we just don't have that kind of TV money and everything else they've got.
Could this be the week that they break out and do something nobody's expecting? The road to the college football playoff is next. They did the MASH. The Monster MASH. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Halloween. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Mike, we're going to go behind enemy lines with Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider. We'll get his thoughts on all these injuries and what this is going to look like maybe on Sunday. But before, you know, we get to all of that, let's talk some college football here, because we talked to Barbara Dooley today. She laid out some great stories about, you know, what this Georgia-Florida game is and what it's meant for many, many years. But you start to look at where we are in the season. And again, Tuesday, big day. The College Football Playoff Committee is going to lay out the first rankings. That's what's going to lay the foundation, guys, for the next 5 or 6 weeks before we get to the conference championships. But I think, Mike, when we start talking, and every week there's big games, right? This is Georgia-Florida because it's just a rivalry game. But Penn State at home against Ohio State, it's 3-4, at least according to the AP and the coaches poll. This is the one that if Penn State is ever going to get it done, they got to get it done.
Well, I think they got the best quarterback that you could argue that he's had with Allar, right? I think Allar looks really solid. I think Ohio State looks, I mean, like, unless, you know, we can say they were looking ahead to Penn State, but it's a home game against Nebraska, and they look terrible. Ohio State just looked very mediocre. Look, Penn State's had some, they've always had some early season clunkers against MAC teams, I get that, but this just seems like the one team that Mr. Coach Hot Sauce, that this is Franklin's, his shot to grab the brass ring. And it's funny, ironically, in years past, could his teams, after losing to Ohio State or Michigan, gotten in this playoff and made a run? We never could find out, but this is a year where I think he has the stuff to beat Ohio State, and then ironically, maybe match up with, could it be, I don't think Ohio State gets back in that conference championship game. They already lost to Oregon. So, I mean, we have these scenarios that Wes pointed out earlier in the week, West Durham. But I just think Penn State, if ever there's a time, it's got to be this weekend for them.
I agree. You know, the other thing that, and we're looking at these undefeated teams too. I mean, Oregon should beat Michigan, even though it's on the road, because this is not.
I think they should.
I think so.
I can't see that. I mean, I can't see them falling to that. If that becomes a dial score, Michigan can't keep up.
Well, and this is the thing. It gets back to how many teams the Big Ten may have in this, right? You're going to get your conference champion. But then on top of that, if Penn State or Oregon, you know, we feel like they're both going to be playoff teams, but that's where Oregon is, and they are currently the number one team in the country. We will see after this weekend if the College Football Playoff Committee feels that way. Does Georgia make that jump, Mike, if they beat the dog snot, pardon the pun, out of Florida this weekend? What if the Dogs win by 28 or something like that? And then all of a sudden, you know, they get a bump. You just don't know how this is going to look. But I think these undefeated teams that we've been talking about, Indiana's at Michigan State, guys, they're about to be 9-0. That's a good football team. And they're going to beat Michigan State. They're favored by 8 in this game. They've been playing with their backup quarterback. The fact is, Mike, these undefeateds, we keep waiting for everybody to kind of get one loss and see where this is going to go. And then does South Carolina upset Texas A&M, the only undefeated team in the SEC right now?
I just think Elko, I mean, both coaches preach physicality. Certainly Shane Beamer wants to do that. Elko's living with that, you know, mindset in Texas A&M. But I think the Aggies just, they're so fundamentally sound. And it's almost like you took some of what was left of the remnants of what Jimbo drafted, or I should say Technator's drafting. They're semi-pros now. But what Jimbo recruited, but what Mike Elko has brought. And, you know, it's fundamentally sound. You know, it's never going to be as sexy as Texas, but they look like a team that can beat Texas.
Well, you can say that again. It's never going to be as sexy. But They do look like they can play.
I can never take Texas A&M seriously with those stupid cheerleader things.
The yell leaders.
Come on, Aggies. Let's get it. It's five guys doing that. It's just what? It's like a cult, they say. Texas fans love to crap on A&M and say it's a cult out there in College
Station. No, it really is. But listen, I'm trying to be fair and balanced here. A&M is really good, and they do have a chance to beat Texas with the way that they played last week. I think the bigger thing is, Mike, when they made the quarterback change, there's no reason why they should go back to where they were. Once the change was made, I think the kid's name is Reed, he just brought a completely different element to the team. I think they handle South Carolina, but you know Shane Beamer, man, he gets his teams up for this kind of, hey, they're unbeaten, nobody thinks we can win, and all of a sudden South Carolina plays the best game of the season. So remember, Carolina took, the Gamecocks took Alabama to the brink. Mm. It's not as if they don't have the talent to do it. It's will they do it? And being at home, that is a crazy atmosphere. So that's a game I'm really curious to see how that shakes out. It's a night game, too, by the way.
Alabama, by the way, has this week off as they get ready for LSU. And obviously LSU it's a team that had a chance. And I'm like, they're all in. I think everybody in the SEC, until you get to three losses, is alive in this thing. I know that they're going to try to balance it out. So it's, the Big Ten gets three, and the SEC gets three. But I just think
there's not enough spots.
No. But there's other teams. If you're going to sit there and try to give kids that should be at the kids' table a seat at the big table, I think that's going to be bad for television. That's why I think the College Football Playoff Committee is still just going to swamp it with SEC and Big Ten.
I can't wait to see. I mean, we know five spots are taken. Conference champs and then the G5, which as of right now is Boise State. That could change. That's five of the 12. You're not getting three additional Big Ten and three additional SEC, which takes up six.
Right.
And then you got one slot left. That I don't feel that way. I think they wanted more of an even keel. I'm not saying it's right, but that's what I'm guessing why they wanted to do this.
Because, and again, Wes Drewham, he brought this up to us 2 weeks ago, because, you have all these weird, weird tiebreakers in the ACC, and, Pitt does eventually play Clemson. Pitt's got a big game with SMU. Some people say Pitt eventually is living dangerously. They're not going to be able to get it done. We'll see. Miami, Clemson would be the two from the ACC.
I agree with that. And, Mike, if Clemson beats Miami now, one more
And that would be
team,
in the ACC championship.
Both are getting in.
Right.
So that's two from the ACC, the conference champ, and then you're going to go, all right, do they deserve a third, which could be Pitt?
What if it's a one-loss Pitt team?
That's what I'm saying.
That's why.
And does that one-loss Pitt team look better, feel better, have a better record than a one-loss SEC team that they're competing against to try to get into this thing?
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app